Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for tonight's message is the gospel lesson which we read together from the third chapter of John. And the theme is, why can't you understand? Or, why can't you understand? When I originally wrote up the bulletin, I had in mind a question mark. Why can't you understand? And it came out an exclamation point. Why can't you understand? But sometimes, isn't it true? What begins as a question gradually progresses into an exclamation, especially when we're trying to communicate to someone and we're talking past one another and our frustration level builds. And finally, why can't you understand? Well, Jesus doesn't get to that frustration point with Nicodemus. Fortunately, he is patient, much more patient than we may be at times. But Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the evening. That's significant. He's a teacher of the law. He's a teacher of Israel. He's a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling council. So Nicodemus is a man of influence and also a man of some learning. And he comes to Jesus at night when supposedly no one would see him coming to Jesus. Because for him to be seen associating with Jesus would put him in a rather delicate position, we should say, with the rest of the Jewish ruling people who really are out to get Jesus. In fact, some would suggest that Nicodemus is coming either very late at night or very early in the morning while it's dark. Probably when most other people would be asleep. And he comes and he says something that acknowledges that Jesus has come from God, but Nicodemus isn't quite at the point of saying that you're the Son of God. He says, we know that you are a man sent from God, because no one could do the things that you're doing if God were not with him. Nicodemus is speaking primarily there of the miracles, the raising of the dead, the healing of the sick, sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, making the lame to walk. He acknowledges that Jesus is from God. And beginning at that point, at that acknowledgement of Nicodemus that he's been sent from God, Jesus moves on to try to get Nicodemus to see the big picture, to take that next step to acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God, not simply one sent from God. And so Jesus suggests that Nicodemus needs to be born again. Now perhaps, I don't know exactly how it translates in the Hebrew or the Aramaic, which Jesus may have been speaking with Nicodemus, but certainly in the Greek the word is anothen, and that word has two meanings. It means born again, but it also means to be born from above. Nicodemus hears Jesus saying that he needs to be born again. Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, you need to be born from above. You need that spiritual rebirth. And Nicodemus doesn't get it. He doesn't understand it. He's thinking about being born again, and he's thinking in a very literal term. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he crawl back into his mother's womb? I suppose if that were possible, Mom would say, hey, not so fast. It wasn't so easy getting you out. Don't get the idea that you're going to come back in again being multiple times over what you were when you were delivered. And so even for us to hear Nicodemus's response to Jesus is like, Nicodemus, where are you coming from? Are you still sleeping? You know, it's sort of a ridiculous response to what Jesus has said to him. And Jesus says, no, you must be born anew. You must be born of the Spirit and of water. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. And here Jesus is talking about that spiritual rebirth, that being born from above. Only then will Nicodemus understand what Jesus is talking about. And Jesus says so much. He says, I have explained earthly things to you. And if you don't understand earthly things, you who are supposedly a teacher of Israel, then how do you expect to understand heavenly things, spiritual things? Unless you're born from above, unless the Holy Spirit comes and works in you and leads you in that truth, as Jesus said to the disciples last Sunday in the gospel reading. The Holy Spirit is out and working even in Jesus' day, not quite the same way that he does in our day, because Jesus hasn't ascended to heaven. But in our minds, we're chronological people, and we think, well, first there's the Father. He does his thing. Then Jesus comes on the scene at Christmas, and he does his thing until Easter, and then Pentecost comes, and then the Holy Spirit comes. But the Holy Spirit's been always around. He's eternal, just as the Father and the Son are. And Jesus' point is, unless you are born of the Spirit, you can't understand these spiritual things. You can't understand these spiritual things. And I suppose that's an important thing for us to remember and to understand, especially when we're trying to maybe communicate our faith with neighbors or family members or coworkers. And they just don't get it. Like, why do you go to church on Saturday night? Why do you go to church on Sunday morning? Why do you go to church on Saturday night and Sunday morning? Why do you go to church, period? Why do you believe in Jesus as the Savior? There certainly must be other ways to heaven besides your Jesus. But apart from the Holy Spirit working in them, they're not going to understand. And even we who have the Holy Spirit working in us, we have a hard time understanding things, don't we? Because some things just are beyond our understanding. They're simply matters of faith. For instance, this weekend we celebrate the festival of the Holy Trinity, that God is three persons, but one God. And mathematically, three does not equal one. But in theology, three equals one, and one equals three. Now, how do we understand that? We can't. We simply trust that that's how it is because God has revealed that to us. One of the previous congregations I served had a ramp that went up along the side of the building for wheelchair access and for handicapped people to be able to walk up to get into the front doors of the church. But it was outside of the roof line, and so actually it was sort of right on the drip edge. And so when it was raining, like tonight, the people coming up the ramp would get wet. they'd get dripped on. And in the winter, they would get snow on them, particularly if it was blowing off the roof. So they decided, a couple of them, that we should have the roof extended over the ramps to protect the people from the elements. And two of the members that were going to construct this one day, they were working around the church, and they were explaining to me how this was going to look and how it was going to work. And I'm not visual in that way. And I'm like, well, don't you understand, Pastor? This is how it's going to be. And I'm like, no. Just looked at him probably with a blank, dumb look. I was like, well, it's going to work just fine. I said, I trust that it will work just fine. Even though I can't visualize that in my head, how it's all going to come together, I trust that you do, because you've got building experience and construction experience. You know what you're doing. Well, we can draw it out on a piece of paper for you if you want, Pastor. That's not necessary. As long as you know what you're doing, that's okay. I don't need to understand that. And probably, in a sense, that's what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus and what Jesus is saying to us. We do not have to understand everything that God does or every facet of how God works in our lives or in the world for him to accomplish his purposes in our lives. We simply have to trust in him, because he is, after all, God. He is the creator. He is the one who sends his son into the world to be our savior. And many people in the world, even some people in the church, can't understand, first of all, that God loves the whole world. They must think, well, certainly there must be somebody that he doesn't love. But God says that he loves everyone. Jesus says in our gospel reading, God loved the world so much, he says he loved the world. That includes everything in the world, every human being in the world. The minute I want to say that he doesn't love somebody, I'm opening it up to the possibility that, hey, he may not like me. And I don't want to have that possibility be a real possibility. I'm much more content knowing that he loves everybody, and therefore his love extends to me also, as it extends to you also. And his love for us isn't dependent upon whether you or I feel that we're loved by God. Also, there are some that can't understand how one man dying on a cross outside Jerusalem approximately 2,000 years ago, how somehow that one death frees all of humanity from sin and death and from the power of the devil. And they have an even harder time understanding that he rose on the third day, and how that resurrection of one man, Jesus, guarantees the resurrection of all those who die in the faith. I'm not so sure that I understand all of those things. You can say, well, Pastor, you spent 4 years educating yourself. What were you doing, sleeping in class? Well, to be honest, yes, sometimes I was sleeping in class, particularly if it was right after lunch in a warm classroom in the middle of January, belly full, warm air, a sing-song voiced professor, of course, I fell asleep, or at least struggled staying awake. But there's so much of God to know. And again, I don't have to know every aspect of it to trust that he knows what he's doing and he's accomplishing it. That's sometimes hard when people come, well, Pastor, you should know the answers. You're the answer guy. And it's like, no, I'm looking for just as many answers as you are. Only difference is that maybe I know where to go, and maybe I know that I can just let it rest with him and trust that he will accomplish it. A few minutes ago, we said the Nicene Creed. We say it every other Sunday, and other Sundays we say the Apostles' Creed. And this evening, as we were speaking the creed together, I consciously focused on what I was saying, what I was confessing. And you know, if I had to explain all that to somebody, I don't know that I would know how to explain all of that. Maybe you don't know how to explain all of that either. But you know what? I believe it. And I trust in it. Because God has given his Holy Spirit to me to trust that. I mean, after all, that's what faith is. That's what faith is. And yet, people in our world will say, well, that I can't believe in that. It takes too much faith to believe in that. But they'll believe all kinds of other things that really are a further stretch than believing that there's a God and that he sent his son into the world to die. There's lots of people that believe in evolution. Even Charles Darwin denied evolution before he died. And some would say it takes a whole lot more faith to believe in that than it does to believe that God created the universe. Why don't you understand? Well, partly they don't understand because they don't have the Holy Spirit. And so we need to be patient with them as we share our faith, as we share our understanding, limited as it may be. As we share God's word with them, we trust that God's Holy Spirit works through that word, and that his Holy Spirit will come to them and will help them to understand. Then finally, I suppose, we get to that exclamation, why don't you understand? And maybe finally they just say, simply because I can't. I can't acknowledge that there's a God. I can't acknowledge that he loves the whole world, that he sent his son into the world to suffer and die so that those who believe in him might have eternal life. I just can't believe that. That's really a sad thing, isn't it? But it's also a very real reality in our world. Our Heavenly Father is much different than our earthly fathers. Our Heavenly Father simply allows us to make the choice. Growing up, my father let me have choices, but ultimately there was, you're going to do this because I say so, because I'm your father. We could believe because God says we should believe, but then we really wouldn't be believing, would we? Why don't you understand? Sometimes that's the question the world comes back to us with. Why don't you, Christian, understand? Simply put, again, I don't have to understand everything for it to be. I don't have to understand how pressing that throttle pedal in my van makes my van go. And when I pull a little lever, it makes it go forward or backward. Or if I forget to put it in gear, it just stays still and whirs. A mechanical engineer probably could explain all of that stuff to me. I don't need to know all of that stuff. All I want to know is that it goes forward when I want to go forward and back when I want to go back. and I have a problem when it doesn't do what it's supposed to do, and that check engine light comes on. But faith is much more simpler than that, because we can trust completely and fully in God, because by God's grace, through His Word and through water and the Spirit, we have been born from above. And that's all that we really, truly need to understand. May God grant to us that faith for our soul's comfort. And may we live in that faith to His glory. Amen.